It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we don't want to be afraid. We want to be informed. That makes it a lot easier. I got a song. I got a song for John Brakey and Jim March are on the line. We're talking about the accuracy of voting in the process, and it gets to the point to where it doesn't matter who's in. We have to deal with stuff like this.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street. And in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please. When I need some money, I know just what I'll do. I'll take it from those same slick boys who stole it from me and me. And then I'll make them walk the plank. I lost my factory job after 15 years of working for the man. They said someone in China can do it better than I can. So I got more education, thought I'd have some security. But now I've been laid off, another victim of this bad economy. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please. When I need some money, I know just what I'll do. I'll take it from those same slick boys who stole it from me and you. Then I'll make them walk the plank. So while the bankers, brokers, and politicians party on like nothing's wrong, the rest of us down here are trying our best just to carry on. And our homes, they're worth less today than they've ever been. Forget about retirement, we'll all be working till we're old men. In the end, I just can't do it. Can't live out my fantasy. So now I'm flipping burgers. And my boss, well, he's just 18. And still, I'd rather be a pirate. Oh, I wish I were a pirate. Guess I'm just too damn scared to be a pirate. Hey, you want some fries with that?
Yeah, that's where we're at. That, you know, this is where we're at, man. And people are starting to get, you know, I just want to be a pirate. You know,
yeah.
I just make them
well,
walk the plank.
Well, flying the Jolly Roger is the answer, okay?
Well, you know, a little Jolly Roger. You know, this is, I mean, that's one thing that we, you know, we really advocate. You know, I've been, you know, a big advocate for a long time is, you know, it's all about the love-lution. You know, you start doing violence, and you're just walking right into their hands. I understand
that. That's what they want.
That's exactly what they want. But they also need legitimacy. They want you know, they think there's only two choices, supporting the system or opposing the system. They don't understand that there's an entire generation growing up that just want to ignore the system. I don't want to replace. I don't want to keep going around about end the Fed. Dr. Paul even said it well. He goes, you know, you don't have to do away with them. You just have to allow competition. You allow, you know, the exchange in silver, which is going to happen anyway. You know, you do that, they just go away. They have to create a forced monopoly, and it exposes what they really are. And I'm just, I see an entire generation that is, and I witness it day after day after day, that they're just starting to come to the realization they just be off grid, man. They're just out of the system. They're not filling out their tax forms. They're not working for the man. They're not even having enough income traditionally to be able to even fill out a tax form. They are stopped going to higher education. They're not incurring college debt anymore. They're not. They're just bailing out. They're saying, no, we're going to go learn how to raise chickens. So I see it's not a direct opposition. You threaten their position. You threaten their shiny badge, and they freak out. If you just ignore them, they freak out just in a different way. There's going to come a time where there's going to be corporate sponsorship. There's going to be government sponsorship. There's going to be somebody begging for John and Jim to come and lay their hands on something to give them some legitimacy. I saw it happen with HAVA, Help America Vote Act. That whole thing was just a facade to get guys just like you involved to give the system legitimacy again.
But you know, Ernie, yes and no, but you know, when you go back into that story, and you got R. Doug Lewis, worked in the Nixon White House, for John Conley, you know, a man who walked around and taught election directors all over this country that a good elections administrator is an administrator who knows how to hide all the warts. And I think they also, when they profile and look for them, I think they find sociopaths to run these places.
Of course they do. You know, one thing that was interesting that I found out, Jim, I don't know if you know, I started to see, how is it that they're able to get, you know, so many bad people to kind of keep all this secret? Well, of course, you know, a lot of bad people. You start tracking these guys, they're felons, you know, they've been in prison for extortion and embezzlement and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, so these guys are at the top. But there had to be more. And what I started to realize come out, I didn't, you know, follow it all the way, but I could see that they put a lot of people that were pro-life. And the reason was, is they got these individuals they needed to be able to accomplish election fraud. They got them convinced that if they could control the election for God, they could put people in that would give them a Supreme Court, that would strike down Roe v. Wade. That was a continuous thread as I started to focus on some of these people that were support structure for these large companies, you know, Diebold and ES&S.
Absolutely.
And I started to see, I'm going, oh, they have to have some kind of a thread to morality, like what they're doing is right.
Absolutely.
And that's,
you told the story about Mike Conley and what happened to him and what the elections of people did to him in 2004 that we had him in court. And, of course, he was it looks like he was murdered.
Tell the story. You know, the one thing that's interesting, a lot of people don't know, is how small this computer tabulation community is.
Absolutely.
Think, even though you have...
We're very well known in the community.
Well, you have a lot of companies, and you find out that the two major companies were headed by brothers.
Yes, at one time.
So, you know, I'm going, how bad does it have to get, man? I mean,
as you know, Diebold, you know, sold their company, and it went to ES&S, and then the Fed said that's just too big. And the new company is called, dig this, Dominion.
Yeah? It's like Total Information Awareness Program with
Mike Conley.
I'll see you know,
Mike, the case of the man who looked like, who was the man who did hack Ohio in Florida, who was with the Bushes for many, many years, and he was very close to Karl Rove, that he was an extremely, deeply religious man. And he rationalized what he was doing to save the unborn.
Well, this was another thing. They have
you know
a
why
Christian...
they killed him?
I don't know why.
He wasn't a sociopath. He couldn't put his hand in the Bible. At the end, he started realizing that two wrongs don't make a right. He was wrong.
You know,
were getting to him.
There was, well, we can talk about that a little bit, too, in his death. But There have been a lot of people that have started to come out that have been silenced. And it's much greater than people realize. If you start following all these stories of, you know, little whistleblowers, leaks here, a little bit of extra, all of a sudden, boom,
that's
they wake
bread
up.
Bread and butter, you know.
Yeah, they wake up dead, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like we think we know. In fact, tell them about when HBO got involved in this and what they did.
Jimmy?
Well, one of the crazier stories from, we're talking about the HBO documentary Hacking Democracy, is Diebold threatened to sue him for putting that show online. Diebold, for a long time, threatened to sue anybody who said anything bad about Diebold's election systems, myself included. False use of the DMCA by Diebold was infamous.
And the HBO documentary did a really good job of showing just how easy this was to hack. In fact, they had a gentleman in charge of elections in Florida that, after witnessing what was being done, he said, I don't think we should be using this anymore. Oh, heck no, you're not allowed to do that. Bad things happen. That's been going on around the country. So I'm still waiting. You know, I'm supposed to support this because of...
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king.
It matters not. We had an election. We had a vote. And he's your king. Damn it. Well, you know, here we... I want to go ahead and... While I got you guys on, I want to tell you what's going on since I kept you over. And I'll let you go ahead and give out your websites and stuff.
But I
want to make sure that you guys know about this SB 1070 ruling that's going on now in the federal court. Now, one of our columnists, he put this up, he's right, John Green, he writes, the situation is still developing. However, Russell Pierce, the only elected Republican in Arizona who has been actively working on implementation of national IDs for Arizonans for over 15 years and who succeeded in SB 1070, succeeded again today in the federal judge's ruling. The national ID component of SB 1070, section 11-1051, subsections F, F1, and F2 survived the federal court ruling. Essentially, what we are left with is none of the immigration enforcement, but with national IDs for Arizonans. Judging on the all-day Communist News Network, CNN, coverage of the affairs in Arizona today, Arizona is the test market for implementation of amnesty, open borders, national IDs for American citizens, and the regional security sphere of CANAMEX under NORTHCOM. The critical component to this long-term CFR globalist plan is national IDs for American citizens, something that the feds have never been able to implement. But under the direction of State Senator Russell Pierce, using Arizona as a test laboratory, national ID has been implemented surreptitiously under the guise of immigration enforcement. The left has always wanted national ID. Other than Russell Pierce, who has always wanted it, the right has always vehemently opposed it. Using immigration as a guise, the operatives who attempted to subsume the state under the federal government via SB 1070 did so as to sway those on the right to support the law. In the end, at least so far, we get national ID for all citizens in Arizona, but no illegal immigration enforcement. This ruling will be appealed and most likely will be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. Get ready. The ultimate outcome will be, must be, if you are a Christian who believes in biblical prophecy, national IDs for all Americans ruled to be constitutional by the United States Supreme Court. Be sure to thank dear Senator Russell Pierce for his socialist, totalitarian, unconstitutional, and un-American national ID scheme to be approved federally for all Americans. And this is what we have been screaming from the beginning of this thing. We're saying all of this is just a ruse. It is just a facade. It is just the Trojan horse by which they're going to have nothing to do with immigration, and they're going to come in and provide for all Arizona residents' identification to be sent to Janet Napolitano, our former governor, at the federal level, and it be legal. And if this goes to the Supreme Court, and they rule it constitutional, this law, you know, what some parts of it, because they put in there when they wrote the law, and this is severable and blah, 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 blah. They wanted to be able to cut certain parts out. They wanted to be able to keep whatever they could. And what did they keep? The national ID component, the transfer of information from the state to a federal database. And I'm going, I've been screaming this from the beginning. Well, here it is. And who's up there making all these decisions of what they're going to do with it? Elected officials, and we got to vote for them. Yay! So you see, from my perspective, I'm like, yeah, so what? You know, they're going to screw us anyway. And I'm sure at the election, if they held it, the people that showed, they'd be overwhelming in support of Russell Pierce. We have a libertarian, Andrea Garcia, running against him on this issue. This is the only, and she was a Republican. She's campaigned for liberty, big Ron Paul supporter. She was a precinct committeeman. She was, you know, blah, blah, blah in her district as a Republican. And she said, no, I can see where this is going. She runs against him, registers libertarian, runs against him. We've known her. She'll do a good job. And all these Republicans go, oh, think about your children. You should be staying home more with your children. You should this, you know, anything they can to try and get her not to run. Well, they don't know her very well because she's real adamant about this stuff. And her name is Garcia, you know, so that has something to do with it. But the understanding of this really comes down to the proper role of government. The Declaration of Independence, really clear. You know, it's defense of individual rights or not. I mean, and they're not. So I can't give them, no matter how much they wrap themselves in a machine vote, it doesn't make any difference. So let's go ahead and talk about, you know, some of the stuff that we were going into in the last segment, that a lot of these companies are headed by the very people that we wouldn't want doing this. If we had an American Idol vote for, you know, text in your vote, these guys would be on the bottom of the list.
Absolutely.
So tell us, you know, what you know about some of these guys.
Well, I'd just like to add into one thing, the point you just brought out about the test lab, is that our analysis, so for years it's been saying that we've been a test lab. You look at Proposition 200, you look at the fact that we were the first state to be 100% electronic voting. We were the first state, believe it or not, Ernie, to have it was more than just buying of a machine.
Too much echo. Move away from Jim.
Databases.
Move away from Jim. Too much echo.
It was a statewide database. A third of the money clearly went into tracking us and profiling. And the databases and the voter registration is part of that.
Database and the voter registration is
what? The Hack America Vote Act was also included about centralizing the database.
Jim, go ahead. Jim.
Right now, let's say, for example, Ernie, if I said, heck with it, I'm moving to New York, and there was a registered vote up there, I'd wonder if Runbeck would be casting a ballot for me. Because, you know, in Maricopa, Runbeck, they don't just print the ballot, they mail the ballot. They receive the ballot. They go ahead and scan the signature and then send it over to our friend Karen Osborne.
Okay, now that's something that people should know about a little bit that we came across. When we started doing this in the 90s, and they started doing this mail-in ballot thing, that was a big. We knew that was going to be, you know, a big open door for election fraud.
Like you said, you're the one who told us about it, Ernie, because, you know, I track your old radio shows. And your dumpster diving days pay off greatly for me.
This is, you know, a short set. Maybe I can give the story out real quick if you won't interrupt me. The what happened was is they started doing the mail-in thing, and all of a sudden we knew that there was going to be a whole bunch of blank ballots out there. Well, we got to count for them, and so there were 60,000 ballots they couldn't account for. So we're like going, wow, that's like a lot. Well, what they did is when you voted, they would send them back in, and you had to you didn't send them to Maricopa County Elections Department. You sent them to a PO box. And the reason that was significant is because you have a federal employee, a postal carrier, would be responsible for putting them on the dock. You know, they take it into the room. Here it is. No, they didn't want that. They wanted to drive down to the post office, send somebody in a van to go pick up the pallets. Well, between the time they went and got them and got to the elections play, what the heck happened to them then? Well, that was way up on top of our list. Why did they do that? Well, then we find out when they do the election counting, you know, to verify the signature on the envelope, you know, we just did a time study. Okay, it takes 10 seconds. You know, so 10 seconds, let's say 10 seconds, you know, it takes between 5 and 10 seconds. 10 seconds to say average to look at a signature, compare it with what the voter registration signature was on a pop-up screen they had from the bleeping of the barcode that came to, okay, is it the same signature? Yeah, close enough. Okay, boom, next one. Well, we go 10 seconds times how many comes in a day. We did a time study. How many people are working on that? There was not mathematically possible for them to check even a fraction of them. They weren't doing it. So what they were really doing is that, you know, you go to pick up the early balloting at the post office. You just add another pallet in there. You know, say these are the guys. They just blip them through to the next station and they get counted in the election. And once you separate them from the actual envelope, then it's secret ballot. Nobody knows where they came from. So I'm going, oh, my goodness. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. There was a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, went along with that and how they got people to actually vote this way. And it was the tracking of it. I mean, it's so layer on layer on layer on layer that I if you don't have it the day of voting in a small precinct, a little old lady knows who you are and you use pen and paper, then I don't even want to talk about it. You know, I already know better. Too many levels to hack it. We'll be right back in a little bit, and we'll get some contact information from John and Jim. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mama. I think the whole world addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
Yeah, gravitate to the love, y'all. Because if you don't, yeah, I don't know, what are you gravitating towards? You know, you gotta resist the uncontrollable urge to choke the living crap out of politicians. I mean, you know, and what other bad stuff you got? Because it doesn't do them any good. It doesn't do you any good. You know, the best thing is you gotta, you know, appeal to the positive. Positive emotions will always trump negative. That's why we're always wanting to, you know, we want reconciliation. You know, we want to forgive. We want, because that's the way we're wired, I believe, because that's what perpetuates our species. But that doesn't mean it's not taken advantage of. It's taken advantage of all the time by bad guys. And, you know, I wanted to go ahead and, before I go back to John and Jim, I wanted to finish the one story, you know, some of the research that we had done in the 90s, is in 94, when they first had, they first started this, Arizona's been the test bed. It's always Arizona. I mean, you know, it's because for a lot of reasons. And a lot of it has to do with the fact of our prominence on the border and the fact that we're, you know, kind of sparsely populated. We have, you know, a lot of opportunity for drug smuggling, people smuggling. You know, we have a vibrant economy in Arizona, or had, and it was a lot of opportunity for corruption. A lot of the Chicago, New York gang, Nevada casino kind of guys came to Arizona, you know, back in the 50s and so on, and they just got embedded in political parties and politics and the developers and how they, you know, land scams of the 60s and so on, that was, and 70s, that was all part of the Arizona got into politics. Well, what happened was, in 94, they had John Kyle, which is now one of our U.S. senators along with McCain. He was a congressman. They selected him. They selected Fife Symington, and they selected John Shattuck, that's run for Congress since 94. He's been there, and he's retiring. He's kind of don't want to play because he was the one that brought back the TARP. And we made, you know, this bailout thing, and we made a big stinking deal about that. And I've run against him 3 times in the past. So we had his number, man. We were all over it. So it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture for him to seek reelection. So he pulled. Well, what happens was these 3 guys in 94, they were the target of the Republican Party. They wanted to support these 3 guys, and this is how they did it. They went ahead and they had a
a IBM reading computer that they put into their headquarters, and we got to see it. I had, you know, my counterpart when I was county chair then, he was a county elections director, the executive director of the Republican County Party, and wanted me to come see something. He knew what I was doing and running on, and just to clear his conscience, he just wanted me to, you know, he wanted to make sure I was aware of something. So I went by, and he showed me. I understood completely what was going on. The Republican Party paid, it was millions of dollars for them to do this. They sent out a postcard, a little mailing thing, to every registered Republican in the state. On that, they had just passed what they called mail-in balloting. Well, they already had it all planned. They were, you know, they paid whatever to get legislators to pass this thing, and they were going to take advantage of it. You imagine a mailing that had a postcard that was perforated around it, and go ahead and bring them down so we're not echoing. I'll get right back to them. They went ahead and had this postcard, and it had a barcode with your name and everything on there. And they sent it to you, and it was a request for an early ballot. I want to vote early. I want an early ballot. It's convenient. Send it to me. And you put that in the mail, and it went to Elections Department, P.O. Box, blah, blah, blah. Well, it wasn't an official elections department, county, state, anything. It was the elections department of the Republican Party. The Republican Party took all these cards and they put them in big, giant stacks, hundreds of thousands of these, okay? They take these and they ran them through the computer barcode reader, and it put in and created a database that then would spit out these big dot matrix printed forms that, you know, big call lists that they had banks, you know, dozens of people that were calling all of these people that had sent in their early ballot requests, asking them who they supported in these various races. Was it John Kyle? Or a guy named Banks that was running against him, an anti-tax guy? Was it Shattuck, or, you know, a bunch of the other guys that were running against him? Which one of them was Trent Franks, by the way, that's now got elected and got his own problems. Then you have, for governor, was it Fife Symington or someone named Barbara something? I can't remember. So they already pre-screened, and they call the people and ask, who are you voting for? If you gave the right answers, these cards went into one pile. If you didn't, they went into the dumpster, which is where we found them, because we learned from a libertarian activist out of Las Vegas came down our headquarters, and we saw this VW bug out there taking all this trash out of our dumpster and then, you know, squealed off. What the heck was that? And she goes, they're dumpster diving you. Don't you know what that is? We had no clue. This is 94, man. We're youngins, man. We know what the heck was going on. She goes, I'll show you. Get in the back of my pickup. Where's the headquarters of whatever? We go to the Democrat and the Republican guy. The Republican guy, Symington, he shredded all his stuff. But the Democrat guy, Eddie Bascha, that owned a chain of grocery stores here, there was a line. There were people, wait your turn to get into the dumpsters. So we went to the Republican Party. Hey, man, this is cool. We'll go to, and sure enough, all these postcards are in there. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? We found out what was happening. If you answered the question correctly, well, then your card was sent on to Maricopa County Elections to send you an early ballot. If you didn't answer correctly, they just threw them in the trash because they didn't want you to have an early ballot to vote for the wrong guy. You see? So they're still doing this. We make a big deal out of this all the time. It still goes on. In fact, there was G. Gordon Liddy's son, Liddy, I can't remember his first name, whatever it is, no matter. He was county chair. They're making a big deal of some guy in Ahwatukee was doing this. What he was doing is the same thing. His campaign would send it out to his district. You know, give me back your cards. He'd call them if they said the right thing. Fine, he sent it out. They didn't. They threw it away, and it was perfectly legal. You know, they'd make a big deal out of it, but it was legal. They didn't want to stop the law because they wanted to do it as a party. So I can't even keep track of how many ways that this whole thing is so screwed. Now, Jim, John, you know, go ahead and, I mean, you know, comment on that. Did you guys even know that was going on?
Is that, you know, when you're talking about that, you know, I think of Nathan Sproul, who was the Arizona Karl Rove, who was the eighth highest expense that the RNC had back in 2004. Because, you know, my first investigation pretty much uncovered that there had to be a hack because I found the stack and was able to prove this precinct was set up. And Ernie, you're right on what you said, man.
You got it. You got to move out of voice shot from Jim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is something that you have experienced or is going on in Tucson too, I guess? Jim?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Is this something that you guys have experienced? They're still doing that in Tucson?
Well, because they banned the cards. You know, now it's automatic that you get a ballot, so the parties don't have to run around and pick that up. That stopped at about 2006, but I tell you, Ernie, they played that game all the way to the end.
This is, you know, I once I was running for Secretary of State in 06 and saw that they were still doing this after we made such a big deal out of it, that I'm going, this is, I can't trust these people to do it. I was done. You know, I'm that's why my signs were the big V for Vendetta on the voting. It's still voting, with the V is the V for Vendetta and the question mark. I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, what, you want to go to my site? And they would, and we'd have all this stuff up there, my campaign website. And I'm going, look, once you, and tens of thousands of people would do that. They go and they go like, oh my goodness, it became an issue. But what do they do? Well, I'm going to go vote for Ernie then. And you know, one thing that's interesting, when I run for office as a third party in three-way races, I get the most percentage in the nation. I mean, it may only be, you know, 5 to 8% or something like that, but I don't spend hardly any money, and I get the most in the nation. I get these calls from all over the nation. Wow, what did you do? Oh my goodness, how did I told people to not vote. I mean, you know, and of course that's not what they want to hear, but you know what happens is the people, they appreciate being told the truth. Well, go ahead and in this final couple of minutes, go ahead and give out some contact information that people can contact and help you guys.
The best way to find us is to go ahead and Google Seeking Justice Audit AZ. It'll pop right up for you. And that we have two sites, and one's for the appeal process, one is current events.
So if you go,
I break most things through Brad's blog because he has a very deep understanding. And then also The Intercept. There's quite a few different ones that we work with.
Yeah, you put in Audit AZ, AUDITAZ,
yep.
And it'll come up. Yep. You know, I mean, it's a big...
What it means is Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency. We can make it different.
Very cool. Hey, Jim, thanks for coming on, man. You guys, I appreciate you letting me... We can duke it out with each other. We're on the, you know, same path. I'm sorry.
It doesn't make a whole difference, Ernie, because you have, and you may not want to know that. You may know that we think, and we're on the same page.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Oh, I want to break free from your lies, at the very least. I mean, you know what's different between government and a gang? You know, the mafia is not trying to convince me they're doing me a favor. The government does. They do exactly the same thing, and it's because they love me. It was, you know, let's go ahead and Keith and Chandler wanted to talk a little about 1070. Go ahead, Keith. What's going on, man?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call, man. This is really bizarre. I happened upon your radio show just by accident. I'm listening to it on the internet, and then I did a little check on the Google to find a reference, and I ended up on your site as well about the national ID card. Now, I took the, you know, I when everybody was talking about this and complaining and about, you know, racial profiling and all that. Now, I'm an ex-police officer, and I'm telling you, you know, I read part of this because I didn't believe we were going to do any racial profiling or any of that. And I have quite a bit of background with undocumented aliens, so I wanted to make sure that, you know, what the truth was. And so when I read your site, it says that National ID component of SB 1070, Section 1151, which is on page one of my printout, and then it says subsection F, which I have to, it's at the very bottom of page one.
Well, go ahead and read what it says and what your reference is, what your point is. Go ahead.
Well, my point is I don't find where you're saying that, I mean, if we've been duped, I want to know about this because this is huge.
This is in the law. You have the law in front of you, the actual law?
I don't have the law in front of me. I have the bill.
Okay. Well, if you get the bill, it has it in there too. I mean, you know, this is what it says. It says No, we go, how is this not national ID? You have all the Arizona ID goes to Homeland Security, you know, because when you stop someone, you're having a stop on someone you suspect to be an undocumented, illegal alien, whatever, you want to check them. What are you checking them against? I mean, if you don't have some kind of, you're a U.S. citizen list, what are you checking? You know, so they go, okay, so they want to have a list. We're going, you're going to check them against what? Well, they don't have a driver. Okay, they don't have a driver's license. They're 13 years old. They're 22 and didn't get a driver. I mean, what are you checking against? So we got to create a list. All right, fine. Well, where do they get this list? Well, what happened was it says in the law, it says, no municipality, no county, no state, no any kind of government can have a law, ordinance, or anything else that would prevent the transfer of this information to Homeland Security. And we go, how is that not national ID? And they said, because it doesn't require the transfer. It just says you can't prevent it. And I go, oh, that's good. That's good. So if you look in the legislation where it talks about that there's no action you can take of any government level to prevent the transfer of the information, that means the information's getting transferred. That's what happened.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't read that in here, though. And you do reference SB 1070. I'm going to go look up the Arizona Revised Statute and see what it says.
You know, we can do that right now. I got Arizona Revised Statute. Now, I got Arizona Revised Statutes here. We go 11. Wait a minute, was it in 11?
That's what your page says. It says 11-1051.
Okay, let's go ahead and look at it. Because yeah, I'm all about, man. Let's do it up. Because we went through this. I mean, dang. You know, it's I get it. We went over and over and over and over. Okay, so 10. Scroll down. 10. Tell me what it was. It was 10-07.
It's 11. 1051. Let me go back to your page. I'm okay. 11-1051 sections subsection F.
Okay.
And your page.
Okay. F what?
It's F, and then it goes on to say F1 and F2.
Okay, this is determining eligibility, service or license provider, federal, state, local, and any other political subdivision of the state. Now, this is when you're determining eligibility for any public benefit. Now, I didn't have a problem with that. You know, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for where it says implement, authorize. Oh, this is another thing. I want to make sure we bring this up, too. This section does not, now this is section G here, it says, this section does not implement, authorize, or establish, and shall not be construed to implement, authorize, or establish the Real ID Act of 2005, okay? The reason they did this is, you know, we'll go over and over, and we'll be doing a bunch on this tomorrow, because once this hit and this case came out, we'll listen tomorrow, because we're going to be going over this a lot tomorrow, and I'll have all the research and everything that we had done. When they did this Real ID thing, now think about it, who was the governor that signed, we are never going to do Real ID? Nope, wouldn't do that. It was Janet Napolitano. And then she goes on to be head of the Gestapo. So I'm going, okay, yeah, why would she sign this? The reason was is they had a thing they had already passed. Remember all the talk about enhanced driver's licenses? What they did, it was called the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, and it turned your driver's license into like a passport with Canada and Mexico and all the Western Hemisphere. And it already had all of these things in there, you know, your face, your picture, you know, that little barcodey thing that it has on there, the magnetic stripe. All this was biometrics. It was already done. So when they said, we are not going to comply with the Real ID Act of 2005, they made a big giant deal about it and included it in this law to make sure they could say that, because it didn't matter. They already had it. It was called Enhanced Driver's License, a Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative. We made a big stinking deal out of that back when they did that too. And I go, look, look, man, they're just BSing you. We had Senator Karen Johnson come out and said, yep, you know, that's exactly what they did. And, you know, so this is, you know, don't take everything what they say as face value. Okay, so we want to go to, I don't have the stuff in front of me where it was. It's about where a local municipality cannot prevent the transfer of this information. And I wish I just had it here where I could just look at it. But let's see. Yeah, I can't do it on the fly here. We have, if you do, under immigration, we have a category on Freedom's Phoenix. Now, I would bet you that the article that you're looking at is under, well, you put it under New World Order. If you went at the top navigation bar up there, the horizontal navigation bar where it says front page, page two, archives. You go to archives, and it has a drop down, and it says contents listed by subject. Go to I, and you look for immigration, and you'll have under immigration, we followed this all the way through from the beginning to the end. And we just, you know, followed this. We just go, look, man, I just want to see where this is going. And it's the second one down. It says border issues, immigration. And you go through there, and you'll see from the beginning to the end when they first started doing this, there's 37 pages. There's 30 articles per page. So it's 37 times 30. It's like a lot, okay? A lot of articles we have on this. And what we did is we followed it from the beginning, what was introduced, what they said, who said it, didn't say that, back and forth, and it came down to one thing. It was they would not allow any prevention of the transfer of this data. Then we had Campaign for Liberty, Dr. Ron Paul's organization. Now, they were always on closing the borders and immigration, all that kind of stuff. But we had them take a look at this and put their little Campaign for Liberty logo on it. Tell us what this said. Bottom line, national ID. This will transfer Arizona's identification information and personal data and who you are and so on from the state of Arizona databases to the national list. That's the end result of this. What they call it and how they do it, that's two different things. Now, what the ruling is today, the reason we brought this up today was that the court has so far, of course, they'll appeal it and all this other stuff. But what they did today is they said, nope. From the time that you have a contact with an officer forward, we're striking all that. But all the stuff before that, we're going to allow. Because they made sure they had a severability clause in there that, you know, you can take pieces out and then the rest of it still would apply. So what'd they do? They ruled it unconstitutional, at least, you know, for now, they put an injunction on it or whatever, that you can't, but the national ID component of transferring this information can be done. So I'm going, okay. Well, I think what they're referencing here in 1051 FF1 and F2 is they said, okay, when somebody goes to get a benefit from the state, I want my welfare, I want my food stamps, I want my whatever, well, you're going to have to show your citizenship. Well, you know, that was, you know, probably a lot of people be in support of that. Citizenship against what list? Where does that list exist? How do you know? If you're moved here from South Carolina, what is the list that they're checking? How do you? They want a combined national ID list. That's what this whole thing was about. Now, from a libertarian standpoint, we were saying, look, man, I don't care if you're from Appalachia or Montana. You're coming here to take welfare or some kind of, you know, benefit from the state. I don't want anybody taken. I don't care where you're from. But the argument they were making, well, you sure as heck shouldn't be able to do it as a criminal that's here against the law as an illegal immigrant. Well, that part they left in. But where do they get the list from? That's the part that's in there. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. So you listen tomorrow, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You know, this is, they made this confusing intentionally. They didn't. They do not want this coming out. They do not want us talking about this. They do not want us understanding this. In the end, the bottom line is there will be a list that's checked against. And what they left in there is if you go to get some kind of benefit from the state, you got to show that you're a U.S. citizen, that you qualify. But the problem is that, you know, some of that money comes from the state taxpayers. I don't care if you're from Montana. Why do I got to pay for you? You know, why do I got to pay for anybody that's my next door neighbor? Things to think about. We'll talk about it tomorrow.